There are many tests that we can prepare for. Tests of memory as to what you do after the scripture reading during Lent. Tests for school. Tests for driving. Anyone take a driver's test anytime in the last 6 months? Was it fun? No? Or was it this test or this test? Yeah, this is the written one, and this is the driving one. Oh, the eye test. You got to take the eye test, yeah? A test for professional licenses, to pass the bar, to be able to get certain licenses like that. Just tests of skill, like at the carnival, right? How many of you have ever won anything at the carnival, at one of those tests that you can't win? You won something there? What did you win?
Big doll.
A big stuffed doll. What did you have to do? And you had to knock over the things or break it or something like that. I can't do the one where you have to get the metal thing without touching the edge. It's sort of like the game of Operation. I can't do any of them. And, of course, I'll just be sour and say, they're all fixed. But I see people win them. Or I see people with the prizes from winning them, but rarely do I see anyone. I think there are plants. Maybe there are plants. What do you think? Tests of skill or tests of patience, maybe. Well, there are many tests that we can't study for too much, like a test of patience. Our patience tested all the time. If you're a parent, your patience is tested. If you're not a parent, your patience is tested. There's tests of endurance. You can study for them to a certain point, but sometimes you just go to the edge of that endurance and you know that you're testing beyond that. Or tests of character, like what you're like when nobody's watching. Tests of character. Tests of willpower. That's good for, if you're ever on a diet, tests of willpower. So the comparison of, a person, it's really hard for a person to stay on a diet because our willpower ebbs and flows and sometimes we just want to eat and so we do. If you put a dog on a diet with the same amount of calories, they will lose weight because willpower is removed from the equation. Now, a dog doesn't have willpower to not eat. If they find food, they'll eat it. But if you keep the food away from the dog, they won't eat, right? That's just, they'll be upset about it and they'll bother you, but a person can whine and everything and they'll get what they want or they'll find it buried wherever you keep the chocolate-covered almonds when you don't want your son to get them, right? Or whatever that is. Has that ever happened to you, Pam? Is it chocolate-covered almonds? The dogs. Oh, right. Well, that's you have to keep the garbage. Yeah, it's all that. But this week's Bible reading is about a test. It's Jesus' experience in the wilderness. And after he was baptized, so this is right after, it says the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And it's before Jesus began his public ministry. So he goes out and he's baptized and he's in the wilderness getting ready for the public ministry. And he was tested. He wasn't earning a degree. He wasn't getting a license. He wasn't competing for a prize or trying to get a big stuffed animal. Jesus' patience and endurance, willpower and character were tested in the wilderness. And it's interesting, at least to me, and I hope it's interesting to you, that Jesus is in the wilderness. He didn't just go to his room and spend some quiet time where the devil could tempt him or anything like that. He went into the wilderness. It's the wilderness in the Bible and nowadays too. We have the wilderness courses we take where you get away from it all. But in the Bible, really, the wilderness it's the place far away from home. It's the place where one went to get centered, yes. But it's also the place where demons dwell. The Judean wilderness would be classified as where demons dwell. It's a place to wander. It's a place to prepare. It's also a place to get lost. The Bible shows all of those different instances. It's all of those things to Jesus, too. And it's where Jesus was led by the Spirit. He didn't eat for 40 days. You know that number, right? 40, big number. Like the 40 days Moses fasted at Mount Sinai, like the 40 days Elijah went without eating, like the 40 years the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. 40 has a depth of meaning to it. It means a time of testing. In some ways, it's just a long period of time. But whenever you see the number 40, it has connected with it this time of testing in some way in the Bible. So when people would read the Bible of old, the scriptures, when they would hear the number 40, it would mean, oh, a test, something important. And Jesus was tested 40 days. And at the end of the 40 days, he was famished. And diabolos, that's the Greek that they use in Luke, the devil, tempted him. Turn this stone to bread. One does not live by bread alone. Little side note on this part. This week, or in the last couple of weeks, the We Are the World 25th anniversary song was released with new singers and everything. Anybody listen to We Are the World 25 to raise money for aid to Haiti? In the original, there was a well-meaning but incorrect lyric that was related to this Bible passage, and Willie Nelson sang it. How many of you remember We Are the World from 25 years ago? It wasn't really that long. And Willie Nelson said, as God has shown us by turning stones to bread. Remember that? I'm not doing it really well, but he said that. Someone got this passage wrong. It wasn't God turned stones to bread. It was Jesus said, no, I'm not going to turn the stones to bread. Man does not live by bread alone. So in the new version, they remembered, oh yeah, we got nailed for that last time, and Willie really should have known better, and so should all the other people, but, we had it in there. So this time, and I'm not going to sing it this time, but Barbara Streisand and Enrique Iglesias sing, we can't let them suffer, no, we cannot turn away. And then the song goes on, and it fits, it's not clumsy at all. The song is just as good as the other one. There's some new stuff added, and that weird auto-tune stuff where your voice sounds like a robot. There's some of them that are singing like that, so that part's not all that fun, but that seems to be the way the music field has gone of late. You ever listen to the radio and hear the electronic-sounding voices? That relates to a device called auto-tune. I had to research it to find out. It has nothing to do with We Are the World or turning stones to bread, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Auto-tune is, we're human beings, and when we sing, we're not always perfectly on pitch. Even the best of us are not always perfectly on pitch. And so someone found out that they could put the voices that are singing through a vocal processor and tweak it just like a tiny little bit to bring it from almost on pitch to on pitch. And so all of these professionals who sound really good recorded and then in live concert, they sound a little bit pitchy. Their voices have gone through auto-tune. They've got good voices and everything, but they're human, and they make mistakes. And so that's been going on for about 10 years in the music industry, this auto-tune. And some people got a hold of it and said, you know what, if we even make it twisted even more, our voices are going to sound like robots, and that's really cool. So let's sing like robots. And so that's happened to Lil Wayne and Tonal T or something like that. There's a whole bunch of them. Cher was about the first one that had this used on a record that she did. If I could read your mind, was that? I don't remember what it was called. But so the auto-tune feature, now you know a lot more than you ever wanted to know about it. But the people that sound like robots is related to artists can't sing on key, and so they put their voices through machines, and then they sing on key. So see, if you can sing on key, you're better than the artists. No. But all of us sing a little bit off key. And it all related to We Are the World, which related to the turning stones to bread, which related to Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, where we're going to go back again. Jesus was tempted again. Worship me and I will give you the world. Worship God and serve God only. And then again, throw yourself off the top of this temple. The scripture says that God will send the angels to rescue you. Jesus says, don't test God. Jesus actually faced opportunities and decisions that are similar to ones that we face. And you might say, hold on. We don't get faced with turning stones to bread or getting all the power in the world or jumping from a really high place and daring God to catch us. But we do face decisions about hunger about power and about trusting God. And that's really what Jesus faced when he was in the wilderness. He was being tested, prepared for what was to come. Jesus was facing real physical and real emotional tests of will. So he faced hunger. Now, most of us aren't going to fast for 40 days, but we do sometimes face hunger. But in our world, too many people are overstuffed, and far too many don't have enough. Jesus faced temptation to be powerful, to be dominant. You know, in our world, in the Western world, in the United States of America, in affluent America, we live that all the time. Maybe we're not tempted with more power, but we are terrified of not having power. We crave it. And too many have a voice to speak to oppression, to things that go on in our world that ought not. Too many have the voice to speak, and they're silent. Jesus also faced the temptation to trust God with a selfish spirit. I think I'll be reckless and irresponsible. God will take care of me. That's the temptation. We can trust God. But if we do stupid things or ignore medical advice, you know, we're going to live with the consequences. If I take a hammer and pound it onto my hand, it's going to hurt. If I do it hard enough, it's probably going to break some bones. God's not going to send an angel there to stop the hammer. Too often we confuse trust in science with a lack of trust in God. I'm just going to pray that this will go away. No, you really ought to see the doctor about that, you know. We've begun this 40 days. We're in Lent. And Lent, if you're here Wednesday, I said it, but I'm going to say it again too. Lent is a season of self-examination, of prayer, of fasting, and of works of love. That's what we're about for Lent. Self-examination, prayer, fasting, and works of love. And how are we going to face the tests that are before us this Lenten season? Like hunger. Hunger is before us. And what can we do in response to that test before us? We're not going to turn stones to bread, but we can donate money and time to our sharing pantry. We can be ready for the one great hour of sharing offering that's going to be taking place on March 21st. We can get involved with the Foods Resource Bank and Church World Services Crop Walk. And there's power. We can use our voice to make a difference. Every person in this room has a voice to be able to make a difference. We can be advocates for justice and peace. We can speak out against racism and discrimination. We can advocate for the sharing of God's resources equitably and sustainably with all of God's children. We can be advocates for an end to fear-based attitudes and policies on immigration. We can even give voice on LGBT issues like marriage equality, hate crimes legislation, and non-discrimination policies. And now while some of us are energized by that, we're like, yes, all those things. And others are like, oh, he's just meddling now. You know, I don't know. I don't want to go into all those things. They're controversial issues. But we can give voice to things that we are passionate about and things that ought not be happening in our world. And then there's trusting God. You know, we don't have to be afraid to trust in God and also be a person of science. We can be a person of science and faith. The two are not mutually exclusive. We can be the church that extends God's extravagant welcome to folks who devote their lives to scientific study. we can have, and this is sort of pushed or inspired by Charles Townes. He's the one that invented the laser. First it was the maser. I forgot what maser. It's like magnetic something. But then the laser grew out of that. And he's a member of a UCC church in Berkeley, California. This is what he says. He says that we can have a thoughtful, knowledgeable, and perceptive discussion of science and religion. We can be the church that's not afraid to have that thoughtful, knowledgeable, and perceptive discussion of science and religion. Our faith is more than 2,000 years old, right? Our thinking need not be 2,000 years old. Trust God. And trust that God has given us minds and the ability to learn. We can discover more on how to move forward in our Lenten journey. But these three things that Jesus faced, three things that we face in different, in varying degrees: hunger, power, and trusting God. We are in a season of self-examination, of prayer, of fasting, and of works of love. Lent 2010, counting down to Easter from 40. And let's pray. Inspire us, O God. Give us opportunities to reflect, to pray, to fast, to do works of love. Please give us opportunities to address hunger, power, and trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen.